Okay, Mark, you'll jump in if you miss out on something. Okay.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay, good. So the Gemara that we're going to begin with is a Gemara that we referenced once before when we were doing the overall survey. And it's the second most crucial Gemara in terms of our topic of teaching Torah to Gentiles. Amar Rabbi Ami, Ein Mosrin Sisrei Torah Ela Mi Sheyesh Bo Chamisha Dvarim. One only gives over the secrets of the Torah to he who has five special qualities. This is based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu, a pasuk of Churban. The third chapter of Yeshayahu is dealing with a vision of Churban, and we're being told that the following kinds of people will be removed from Yerushalayim: Sar Chamishim, the man who's in charge of 50, Unisu Fanim, the dignified leader, V'yoetz, the privy counselor, V'chacham Charashim, and the person who is wise to whisper, and it's a person of some kind of wisdom, V'navon Lachash, and the eloquent orator. V'amar Rabbi Ami, Ein Mosrin Divrei Torah L'Nachri, one is not allowed to hand over Divrei Torah to a Gentile, Shene'amar, Lo Asachein L'chol Goy, Umishpatim Baal Yida'um. Okay, that's a pasuk that we're all familiar with from Psukei Dezimra in the morning, from the Halalukas. So, as you see indicated here on the Mara Mekomos, what I really want to do is ask three internal questions concerning this Gemara and two external questions. So you can see the way that I formulated the questions, but let's begin to analyze. So we have these two statements of Rabbi Ami, right? And we should ask, are we meant to understand them in dialogue with each other? In other words, is there a relationship between the Sisrei Torah that one isn't allowed to hand over to anybody except those who are most wise? In other words, you can't just go ahead willy-nilly and teach Sisrei Torah to a third grader or to somebody who doesn't have very special qualities. And is that really what Rabbi Ami then meant when he said, Ein Mosrin Divrei Torah L'Nachri? It wasn't just Torah in general, but it was a reference to special areas within the Torah. Is that what Rabbi Ami meant? Or, on the other hand, who wants to make a counter-argument? I think we could make a clear counter-argument. In other words, yes, put the two statements next to each other as they are. They're both statements of Rabbi Ami, but not that, you know, we should define the Divrei Torah of Ein Mosrin Divrei Torah L'Nachri in light of Ein Mosrin Sisrei Torah, but maybe we would say the contrast is all the more striking, right? Rabbi Ami knows how to speak more locally, right? More of a precise prohibition of the Sisrei Torah. If he just meant Ein Mosrin Sisrei Torah L'Nachri, that you're not permitted to hand over the secrets of the Torah to a Nachri, but there's no general prohibition against Divrei Torah, he should have just used the same expression that he used in the first prohibition. So the question is, what's the interrelationship really between these two different statements? That's the first question I want to ask. Okay. The second question I want to ask is, what is this term of Mosrin, Ein Mosrin, Divrei Torah? What would you have expected it to say? Malamdin, right? Right, so, right, that you might say Ein Malamdin Divrei Torah L'Nachri. So what's the special use of the term Mosrin? So Mosrin actually kind of works well with Sisrei Torah, right? You can't hand over the secrets, the keys to the castle, as it were. Those have to be protected. But once you're talking about Divrei Torah, isn't Malamdin a more appropriate term? And maybe this is actually a proof, and some people might cite it as a proof, actually. We'll see people who cite this as a proof, that Ein Mosrin Divrei Torah is not a reference to all Divrei Torah. If it was a reference to regular Divrei Torah, it would actually be Malamdin. So Mosrin means a special area within the Torah. Okay, and then another question that we're going to want to ask is, for our purposes, the purposes of this Gemara, what's a Nachri? Is it any kind of Nachri, or maybe it would be limited to, anybody want to take a guess?
Like an uneducated.
Okay, good. So maybe it has to do with the level of education, or maybe it has to do with their own ideology. Okay, so when we get to the Meiri, I think we'll have a greater appreciation for that. But the other question that
we could also just say that Mosrin just is the language he uses. No.
But why not Malamdin? We're going to try to be medayik every word in the Gemara. No, it could be Lav Dafka, but Steve, once you go
down... It's not the Torah, it's just something he said.
Well, yeah, but we're also very careful about Divrei Chazal. I agree with you, it's not as much of an imperative and as the Chamisha Chumshei Torah or a Rambam would be, for that matter. But, you know, once you go down that path, that's what we call the Lav Dafka path. Lav Dafka. You can always take that path, but you really need to. Before that's always a last resort.
It's interesting that the quote that comes after that is from Tehillim that says L'chol Goy. I mean, that's pretty broad.
Very good. Excellent, Mark. Excellent point. And it's interesting that we're quoting a pasuk from Tehillim and not a pasuk, let's say, from Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Right, so is this only a Din D'Rabbanan? Is this only an Asmachta? Is somehow the force of this Maimar curtailed by the fact that it's only a pasuk from Tehillim? Right, and what is Lo Asach? What is the context? It's another question that we're going to have to ask, is what's the context of that pasuk in Tehillim? How does this reference Divrei Torah at all? Lo Asachin L'chol Goy U'mishpatim Bal Yedom. He didn't teach them his Mishpatim. But, you know, if I gave you that pasuk, right, absent any context, you might not have realized that this was talking about a prohibition against being Moser Divrei Torah. So, the other two questions that we have to ask in context of this, in the context of this Gemara, are really what I call external questions, or questions which are external to the Gemara. Everything we've done now is textual in the Gemara itself. And now we have to ask two questions about the Gemara's interaction with the rest of Torah Shebaal Peh. So the first question is, what about the Sugya and Sanhedrin? Remember, the Sugya and Sanhedrin said that Nachri, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Nachri, Shosek B'Torah, Chayev Misa, and there are two possible reasons for that, either Gezel or Giloy Arayos. And then we said Meisve is a question. What about Rabbi Meir's teaching that Afilu Goy V'Osek B'Torah, Hareu Kikoin Gadol, Shenemar, Asher Yaseh Osam Adam V'Chay Bahem, Kohanim Levim Yisraelim Lo Nemar, Ella Ha'Adam, Melamed Shafilu Goy V'Osek B'Torah, Hareu Kikoin Gadol. We answered, Hasan B'Sheva Mitzvos Didhu, that within his seven mitzvos, it's a wonderful thing for him to learn. So, are these Gemaras in contradiction to each other? Because this Gemara is saying you can't teach any Torah, it sounds like, to a non-Jew. So, didn't the Gemara in Sanhedrin say that if they learn within their seven areas, that that's a wonderful thing? They're a Kohen Gadol? And remember, the Meiri that we saw last week spoke at great length about, you know, even though the Sheva Mitzvos are really Rov Gufei Torah, right? They encompass all the areas of Torah. And if a Nachri wants to take on an additional mitzvah, you can even teach that to him. So what about this Gemara and Chagiga, which sounds like you're not supposed to teach them at all, even within their seven areas? In other words, they're going to have to do it on their own. Or is it just a contradiction? Right? Is it a Machlokas Hasugyos? Or is there some resolution between these Gemaras? Right, but we're going to have to ask what the interaction between this Gemara is and the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The other question that we want to ask is, do we paskin like this Gemara? Or do we not paskin like this Gemara? Meaning, let's assume that the Gemara is the way that, you know, the Gemara is what we think it is. So you can always decide, do we paskin like this Gemara, or do we not paskin like this Gemara? Now, the Rambam doesn't quote this Gemara, but does that mean, does the Rambam really not paskin this Gemara? That's a little bit more of a subtle question. So what I'm going to try to show you is that these issues were really, every one of the issues we raised is a fascinating one independently, and when you put them together, you have an amazing constellation which emerges. So let's take a look now at the Gemara in Bava Kamma, so that we can get to the Tosfos in Bava Kamma for one perspective on whether we paskin like this Gemara, and one perspective on what the scope of Ein Moser and Divrei Torah really is. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says the following. Everybody see the second source? Mark, you doing okay here with the sources?
Yeah, it went correctly this time.
Really?
Yep.
Do you think that's because it's in London and everything is backwards there, so backwards of backwards makes forwards?
That could be.
Okay. Smart computer that knows you're in London. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Ukvar Shalcha Malchus Romi Shnei Shrad Yotos Eitzel Chachme Yisrael. So the Romans sent two officials to the Jewish people, and they said, Lamdunu Taraschem, teach us your Torah. So Karu Vishanu Vishalshu, so the Jewish people taught them the Torah, right? Very well, twice, three times. So Bishas Ptirasan, when they were leaving, these two Roman officials, when they were leaving, Amru Lahem, Dikdaknu Bichol Taraschem, we've seen your whole Torah carefully, Dikdaknu. V'emesu, and you know what? The whole thing is true. Chutz midabar zeshatem omrim, with the exception of one thing, shorshal Yisrael shenagach, shorshal Kanani, pater, etc. I don't want to get into the particular case, just in the interest of time, but there was one thing which upset them about a certain halacha regarding damages. If a shor of a Jewish-owned ox gores an ox of a Gentile, the Jew is pater from making payments. Okay, that's at least me'ikar hadin, leaving aside later enactments with respect to that issue, and that concerned them, because in the opposite case, Shel Kanani, Shel Nagach, Shor Shel Yisrael, but if an ox of a Canaanite would gore the ox of a Jew, Bein Tam Bein Muad, whether that ox was habituated to violence or not, Mishalim Nezek Shalim, there's full damages. So in any event, you see here, through the context of this Gemara, as far as we're concerned, let's, you know, a little bit less of the focus on the oxen and more focus on the people, right? What do you see? What happened? The Romans sent two officials to the wise men of the Jews, Eitzel Chachmei Yisrael, Limdunu Taraschem, and then what happened? To the Jewish people say, there's a Gemara in Chagiga. Sorry, guys. Ein Mosrin Divrei Torah, Legoy, Shenemar, Lo Asachin L'chol Goy Mishpatim Bal Yedaum. What happened in this Gemara?
This going here, they're teaching
them. They teach them, exactly. So the Bali Tosos asked the question. Bali Tosos, third source, says, Vim Tomar, V'amrina b'chagiga, we have a Gemara, Masechta Chagiga, Hamalami Torah Lovid Kochavim Over B'asei, Demagi Dvar Yaakov, what about the Gemara in Chagiga? You're not supposed to teach Torah to a Gentile. So he says, Yesh Lomar, Debal Korchamasu, they were forced to, Alpi Divrei Hamoshel, V'lonis Chayvu Limtzor Atzman. Right? What were they supposed to do? So Tosa says, you're right. We do paskin like the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga is a liba de hilchasa. 100% we paskin the Gemara in Chagiga. Don't be deceived. That Gemara is absolutely the halacha. They're not allowed to teach Torah to a Gentile. But what? What was this a case of? Pikuach nefesh. They would have killed them. Or, inami asu atzman gerim. K'disa b'sifrei de parshach chovev amim. As we see here, in the Sifrei. Or, in other words, they were really Jewish. So Tosfos assumes very strongly two things. Number one, we paskin like that Gemara. One is not permitted to teach Torah to Gentiles, but also one is not obligated to surrender one's life. But secondly, what's Tosfos' girsa in the Gemara in Chagiga? You can see because he's quoting it. He doesn't say, Ein Mosrin Divrei Torah L'Nachmi, and we wondered, what's this Lashon of Mosrin? Mosrin sounds like it might only be the secrets. But Tosfos assumes that we're talking about all of the Divrei Torah, not just the secrets. That was Rabbi Yami's first comment of Ein Mosrin Sisrei Torah. So the Bali Atosu said, what's their girsa? What word do they have instead of Mosrin? Excellent. Dr. Gribbitz got it. Ha-Milamed. Milamed is going to have a broader scope than Mosrin. Mosrin just might mean handing over the secrets, the keys to the castle, as it will. Milamed is much broader. So let's just put everything from the Bali Tosfos in summation. Number one, we paskin like the Gemara in Chagiga. Number two, the Gemara in Chagiga has a categorical prohibition, not just against, right, the secrets, but melamdin divrei Torah. Okay, so with respect to a number of the questions that we raised at the very beginning of the shir, the Bali Tosfos do have a strong perspective. Now, what I want to move on to do is offer three perspectives now on how this sugya interacts with the sugya. Yeah, Mark, go ahead, please. And everybody should feel free to jump in, not only the people from England.
So, it seems a little bit like he's trying to put a square peg in the round hole when the Tosfot are suggesting the idea of pikuach nefesh. I mean, is there any other context that suggests that that's really what's going on, or is this sort of one of these sort of legal fictions?
I actually think it's somewhere in between. I'm very glad you raised that. So, to evaluate it conceptually, what should we really say? That the very fact that Tosfos is resorting to that perspective tells you that they really took the Gemara and Chagiga incredibly seriously. In other words, it was the only legal way out.
Right.
So the much easier way to do is to be to say, the Gemara and Chagiga, maybe don't paskin like that Gemara and Chagiga, or it's just an asmachta. Or say like the Meiri said, is that if they're interested, maybe they were interested in conversion. They're all, and that's the second answer, conversion. So the fact that Bali Tosfos, Mark, resort to that tells you a lot. It tells you very, very much. And second of all, I don't think it would be so far-fetched because, like, I haven't done a systematic review, but a very strong, very high number of the interactions between Jews and Romans recorded in the Gemara involve Jews being threatened with their lives. It wasn't like the Romans were going to say, teach us Torah, we're going to kill you, and the Jews would say, but that's a violation of the Geneva Convention, right? There were very few protections, since you're in Europe or whatever, the European Commission on Human Rights, right, whatever, or as we should say, the European Commission on Prosecuting Israelis. as the case might be. I forget in which country, but they made Israel a few Israeli generals like war criminals. It's just infuriating. The most chutzpahdik thing in the world. It's unbelievable. Mark, next time you're in Turkey, tell them that they upset me with that. Okay. I want to offer three perspectives now on how this sugya interacts with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So take a look at the fourth source. The Bali Tosfos and Chagiga asked the question. This is Tosfos, one of the famous Bali Tosfos, Rabbeinu Elchanan. So the fourth source says, Hayakasha l'Rav Rabbeinu Elchanan, Teipuk le de'ovid kolchavi mosek b'tora chayiv misa, k'damar perek dalad miso, so'ovid kolchavi mosek b'tora chayiv misa, v'am lamda over alif na'iv lo sitein michshol. So they ask a simple question. They say, I don't understand. The Gemara in Sanhedrin told me that if a Gentile studies the Torah, it's a grave sin. It's either a sin of Gezel or it's a sin of Giloy Arayos, and they should be punished with their lives. And now, so why is the Gemara in Chagiga quoting some pasuk from Tehillim to tell me I shouldn't teach a non-Jew Torah? Right? What should the Gemara just say? If you teach a non-Jew Torah, you're causing him to sin gravely, and you're causing him to sin at the cost of his life. Right? Because he's going to be high of Misa. So why are you quoting this, right, farfendin a pasuk in Tehillim? Who needs a pasuk from Tehillim? Just say, it's lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. So now the Bali Tosfos will say something really important. V'chi seiman, if you'll say, no, the way that this sugya works with the sugya in Sanhedrin is, the sugya in Sanhedrin said that within their sheva mitzvos, it's a big mitzvah for them to study Torah. So if you'll tell me what this Gemara in Chagiga is telling me is a chiddush, is that even though they can study those areas on their own, and that would make them like a Kohen Gadol, but maybe this is telling me that I'm not allowed to teach them even within those seven areas. Can't be. V'chi seima b'sheva mitzvos didhu eino chayiv misa k'dam rashas hasam. If you'll tell me that, Tosfos says, really important line, v'ha mitzvah ikal amosram lahem. No, it's a mitzvah to teach them within those seven areas. This is, by the way, one of the most important points in this Tosfos, one of the most important points we'll see today. Bali Tosfos say, there's no way you can resolve the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Chagiga with the following line. Say, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if they learn outside of their seven areas, they're Chayiv Misa. If they learn within their seven areas, they're like a Kohen Gadol. And what the Gemara in Chagiga is teaching you is you're not allowed to teach them anything, even within their seven areas. No, that can't be. Of course it's a mitzvah for you to teach them within their seven areas. That's not the resolution. So Tosfos answers instead, V'yesh lomar, the bold part, Ahachamayri, afilu hecha de'ika ove kochavim acher, sherot zelam del deleka lifnei iver. So what Tosfos basically explains is the following. There are certain situations where it's not going to be lifnei iver, because the technical definition of lifnei iver is causing somebody to sin if you're indispensable. But if you're not indispensable because they could have found somebody else to do it, they could have found another non-Jew who was prepared to teach this Gentile Torah, so you're not indispensable, so it won't be a technical violation of Lifnei Iver. What the Gemara in Chagiga is coming to tell you is that outside of their seven areas, in which it's a mitzvah to teach them, outside of their seven areas, there's a separate prohibition. So if you were to teach a Gentile Torah outside of their seven areas, yes, you would be in violation of Lifnei Iver because you would be causing them to sin. But even if in a case where you wouldn't be in violation of Lifnei Iver, let's say they could find a Gentile tutor who happens to know all the Torah. Let's say they could find Bilam. Bilam was a Navi, so let's say, let's say he knew a lot of Torah also. Let's say they Bilam lives in their town and they don't really need you to teach them Torah. It's a separate prohibition for you to teach them Torah. So you see, the Bali Tosfos assume that the Gemara in Chagiga and the Gemara in Sanhedrin are meant to be compatible with one another, and they're talking about different cases. Okay, so the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about the standard issue of Lifnei Iver. The Gemara in Chagiga talks about a case where Lifnei Iver wouldn't even apply. Now, the Sfas Emes was the Ger Rebbe, lived from 1847 to 1905. The Sfas Emes assumes that the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Gemara in Chagiga interact, but in a different kind of a way. So what he says, he obviously mentions the fact that the Bali Tosfos answer the question, but if you take here in the last paragraph, he says the following, V'lulei divrehem, if it weren't for the Bali Tosfos, I would have given the following two answers as to how the Sugya in Sanhedrin, the Sugya in Chagiga really can coexist with one another. He says, first of all, you could explain the Gemara in Sanhedrin as follows. Again, what's the source that there's a prohibition for a Gentile to study the Torah outside of their seven areas? Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Morash Shekilas Yaakov. He says, you could have lived in that to Torah Shebichsav, but you have no way of knowing that you can't teach them Torah Shebal Peh, so that's what you need the Gemara in Chagiga for, because Gemara in Chagiga said, "En Mosrin Divrei Torah La'akum." So this Gemara in Chagiga told you Torah Shebal Peh, whereas the Gemara in Sanhedrin told you only Torah Shebichsav. And then the second resolution that the Sfas Emes has is that, no. Over there, it was prohibiting very deep study. Right? Because what does it say? Nachri she'osek batorah chayiv misa. Osek batorah means deeply. Osek. Osek is even more than lomed. Lasok, to be immersed. To swim in the sea of Torah. But you would have had no issue that, let's say, Steve's coworker asks him, you know, a particular halacha. That's not for him to be osek. So the Gemara in Chagiga is telling me, even specific dinim, even one thing here or one thing there. So that's the way the Sfas Emes interprets the coexistence of the Gemara in Chagiga with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Now, the most interesting resolution, I think, is the Marsha. Because the Marsha totally, radically reinterprets the Sugya. So, Mark, you have another 10 minutes?
I have another 10 minutes.
Okay, perfect. Okay, good. So we'll have time to do the Marsha and the Me'iri. The Maharsha asks the same question as the Bali Tosis. He says, I don't understand. Why does the Gemara in Chagiga need a pasuk in Tehillim to tell me I can't teach Torah to a Gentile? Just say that it's Lifnei Iver, because I'm causing him to violate a grave sin. Either, which two sins are we talking about when a non-Jew studies Torah? Either Gezel or Giloy Arayos. You're causing him to violate a grave sin, so who needs a special pasuk? So the Maharsha answers, very interesting. He says, no. The Sugya and Chagiga and the Sugya and Sanhedrin are talking about different kinds of things. You should interpret the Sugya and Chagiga, where it says, Ein Moser in Divrei Torah, in light of the first statement of Rabbi Ami. What was Rabbi Ami's first statement? Rabbi Ami's first statement was, Ein Moser in Sisrei Torah, El Lamisha Yeshbo Chamisha Dvarim. And the Maharsha says, yeah, that's what his second statement was also talking about. Not Divrei Torah generally, but Sisrei Torah. In other words, you're not allowed to give them the rationale, not the secrets, the code, so to speak, the Bible code, but the deeper conceptual underpinnings of the Torah, even within their seven areas. Amazing. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says they're not allowed to study Torah outside of their seven areas. Within their seven areas, they're allowed to study the Torah. But then the Gemara in Chagiga comes and limits that even further and says, within their seven areas, the Rambam, and the Me'iri and the Bali Atosos are all of the view, of course, it's a mitzvah to teach them within their seven areas. But the Maharsha comes back and says, no. What the Gemara in Chagiga wants to tell you is that even within those seven areas, Ein Mosrin Sisrei Torah, even within those seven areas, you shouldn't give them a deep conceptual understanding. What should you just give them? They should know enough to perform them. It's very practically oriented. Now, 100 points for anybody who gets this question. I didn't mention it this week, but I mentioned it the previous week and the week before that because I was very excited about this source. Who does that sound like? Who interpreted the Gemara and Sanhedrin that way also? That within their seven mitzvos, they're actually limited. It's not a very deep conceptual thing. It's meant to be a very practical orientation. Remember that Rashi? What did Rashi say? That right, Hasam b'sheva mitzvos did who? Rashi says, right, they should learn the halachos of those sheva, of those seven areas, lios b'kiyin b'hen. They should develop a halachic expertise. But we kept on pointing out is that they have a very different relationship with Torah than we do. Of course, for us, committing to the halacha, doing the mitzvos are a manifestation of our commitment. But we study Torah to fully understand it, to meet Hashem as an experiential rendezvous. They don't have that kind of relationship with Torah, even within their seven areas. So it's a totally different orientation. Their orientation is very much practical within their seven areas. The Torah for us is a philosophical, conceptual, spiritual rendezvous with the Almighty. For them, it tells them seven areas that they have to do. And that's the Marsha's perspective, and that's the way that the Gemara in Sanhedrin coexists with the Gemara in Chagiga. The reason the Gemara in Chagiga needs to... It's not redundant, because all the Gemara in Sanhedrin said is they have seven areas, not the whole Torah. The Gemara in Chagiga says, and you know what, within those seven areas, you're not supposed to really give them a deep understanding. And that's why he says it uses the term Mosrin, and that's why it's meant to be understood in light of the previous halacha of Rabbi Ami, the previous halacha of Rabbi Ami being Ein Mosrin Sisrei Torah, to El Alamisha Yeshbo Chamisha Dvarim, only to a person who's highly qualified. Now, let me show you the Me'iri. The Me'iri, of course, We know the Meiri in Sanhedrin, who gave us a very, very wide berth for teaching non-Jews Torah. He said, certainly within their seven areas, you can teach their seven areas, you can teach them whatever you want. And even though those seven areas encompass a large majority of the whole Torah, okay, you can, you know, he says, Rov gufei Torah nichalim b'hem, it's okay. And certainly if they want to take on an additional area, you can teach them. But the Meiri says something interesting here. Take a look at the seventh source. Ein mosrin sisrei Torah el la'adam hagun. That's the first statement of Rabbi Ami. Ve'ein mosrin sisrei Torah lagoy. So what do you already see from the Meiri? Whose girsa does he have? Which, you know, I'm speaking anachronistically, but which previous source that we saw does the Meiri accord with in terms of his girsa? Ein mosrin sisrei Torah? What does that sound? Just like the Maharsha, right? The Maharsha also understood the prohibition just to relate to the Sisrei Torah, not all Divrei Torah. It's against the Balei Tosos, who said explicitly, Ein Malamdin Divrei Torah. That was the Tosos in Bava Kamma. So he says, Ein Mosrin Sisrei Torah Lagoy, Vihumi She'oved La'alilim Ulitzva HaShamayim She'me'achar Shukov Rebbe Yikar He'achanu Malamdin Oso Torah. So how does the Meiri interpret the Gemara in Chagiga? It's talking only about not a Gentile, but Misha Ove Dalilim Mutzvah Shamayim, an idolater. Shemei Achar Shukofer Beikar Heyachanu Malamdin Oso Torah. It has nothing to do with him being a Gentile. It has to do with a person being a pagan. Right? Presumably it would apply to a Jewish idolater. It has to do with being an idolater. There's a irreconcilable contrast, right? Conflict, paradox between somebody being an Oved Avodah Zarah and teaching them Torah. So the Meiri both goes with the Marsha in terms of understanding it as Sisrei Torah, not as Divrei Torah generally, but, you know, he is a totally, from a halachic perspective, he has the opposite orientation. The Marsha was saying, no, you should never hand over conceptual information, even about the seven areas, to a Gentile. The Meiri says, no, this isn't even talking about a Gentile, really. What this is talking about is an Oved Avodah Zarah. I just wanted to note, we won't have time to read it inside, but there is a 17th century scholar, the Be'er Sheva, Yisachar Be'er Ben Yisrael Lazer Parnas Eilenberg, who is a Talmud of the Drish and the Prisha, Rabbi Yeshua HaKohen Folk, who actually says we don't paskin like this Gemara. The Sugya and Chagiga we don't paskin like, and even if we did paskin like, it's only in Asmachta, and he also limits it to Sisrei Torah as well. So there were those who limited this Gemara. This, of course, is against the Balei Tosfos. Remember the Tosfos in Bava Kamma said what? When they taught the Romans, the Balei Tosfos asked, but don't we have a Sugya and Chagiga? The Tosfos assumes we paskin like this Sugya. The Be'er Sheva assumes we don't paskin like this Sugya. So I just wanted to conclude with one note, before Mark has to run in 2 minutes, then we'll call it a week, and we're going to wrap up the whole sugya next week. Because if you take a look at the original
don't stop because of me, please.
Oh, no, it's I want to make this is I don't want to this is a small enough chabura that we can make it user friendly. I just wanted to conclude with something from the Tehillim. We'll just read very quickly through Tehillim Kuf Mem Zayin, because I said if you look at the original context, I think you get a particular perspective. What does the Gemara mean when it says you can't hand over matters of Torah to a goy because of this pasuk in Tehillim of Lo Asachein Lechol Goy? So this is very familiar to us, this Mizmor Tehillim. But just read it now, and I think something beautiful will emerge, and something which might even confirm the perspective of Rashi and Sanhedrin and the perspective of the Maharsha that we saw from the Gemara in Chagiga. Hallelujah, ki tov zamer Eloheinu, ki na'im na'vasihila. We should praise Hashem. It's good to sing to our Lord. Bonei Yerushalayim Adonai, Nidchei Yisrael Yechanes. Hashem builds Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of the Jewish people. Harofei lishvurei lev. He heals the brokenhearted. Umechabesh le'atzevosam. And he binds up their wounds. Mona mispar lakochavim. Lechulam shemos yikra. He gives names to all the stars. Gadol Adonenu v'rav koach lisvunaso ein mispar. All praise to the Lord. He is great. He is exalted. Me'odet anavim Adonai. Hashem inspires those who are humble and weak. Mashpil rishayim adayaretz. He lowers those who are wicked. And the Mizmor continues with praising Hashem literally in all these different ways. He is in control of the stars, and yet he helps the weak. And it's going from all the different areas of creation and showing how Hashem deserves our praise because he helps the weak and the poor and the downtrodden, and he punishes the wicked. but he also controls nature, right? This is an all-encompassing mizmor. Then if you skip ahead to the very end, and I promise you the intervening, just in the interest of time, I don't want to read all the intervening psukim, but it's very much within these themes. Let me just read the last five psukim. Hanosin shele katsamer kefor ka'efer yefazer. God brings snow. Mashlech karcho kefitim lifnei karaso miyamod. When Hashem sends his frost and his cold, none of us can stand. Yishlach devaro v'yamseim. Yashiv rucho yizlu mayim. Hashem sends his word to the earth. He causes the wind to blow. Magid Devarav Yaakov Chukav Mishpat of Israel. He is the one who taught his Torah to Israel. Lo Asachin Lecholgoyim Mishpatim Bal Yidaum. Hallelujah. Right, he didn't do this for any other nation. So it's not just that he taught us Torah, but he taught us Torah, and we're meant to see this in the context of the way that we know to praise him. We know to praise Hashem through so many things, through nature, through the way that Hashem helps the weak and the downtrodden. But we as Jewish people, Magid Rav Yaakov, Chukav Mishpat of Yisrael, one of the ways that we learn to praise him is by coming into contact with his Torah. Meaning because of the beauty and the depth that we see through his Torah, that forms our relationship with him, and we can give praise. Lo Asachin L'chol Goy, nobody else, no other nation has that relationship with him. So this is the pasuk that they quote to say, you don't hand over Torah to a non-Jew. So you can tell from the context, it's not informational, it's that the Torah speaks to the special relationship between God and the Jewish people. When you quote this pasuk and you say you don't hand over Torah to a Gentile, what that means is that special relationship that we formed with Hashem through the Torah is unique to us. And maybe that's where Rashi and the Maharsha and that whole school of thought that says, no, this isn't speaking about a prohibition against giving information. This is speaking about a prohibition of giving over conceptual understanding. Because where does that relationship come from? Not so much the dry halachos as it is the deeper philosophy behind the laws. That's really where the inspiring relationship comes from. So I think contextually, based on this Mizmor Tehillim, which talks about us praising Hashem because we know God through nature, because we know God through his interactions with the universe, and because we know God through his Torah, it's that kind of inspired learning that we're not supposed to hand over. That inspired learning of a deeper conceptual understanding. Okay, so we'll hold up this year here, and now in the next 2 minutes, we're just going to do Chazara. Mark, good luck with everything in London. Okay, so what we started...
Bye-bye.
What we started with is the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga said two things. Amar Rabbi Ami, you can't hand over the secrets of the Torah to anybody... A Moser and Sister Torah to anybody who's unqualified. We're talking about Jewish people. Anybody who's unqualified, anybody who doesn't have five very special characteristics, you can't hand over the secrets of the Torah. And then Rabbi Ami said, and you know what? Ein Moserin Divrei Torah Lagoy. And so we asked a question. When we say Divrei Torah here, do you mean all Divrei Torah, or just, like the previous statement, the secrets of the Torah? And number two, why do we use Mosrin and not Melamdin? Is Mosrin a way of hinting that it's just, it's not talking about teaching, it's talking about handing over special information? That's the second question that we raised, and also will it apply to all non-Jews? And then the other two questions that we asked in the context of this Gemara is, what about the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which told me that a Gentile who studies Torah outside their seven areas is going to be chayiv me, so why do I need a Gemara in Chagig at all? And finally, do we paskin like this Gemara? So the first thing that we saw was the Sugyan Bava Kama about the two Romans. The two Romans came to learn from the Jews, and the Jews taught them Torah. So Tosus says, but there's a Sugyan Chagig yomi paskin that way. So you assume that... Okay, Tosus number one assumes that we paskin like the Sugya and Chagiga number one. And number two, Tosus has this important girsa in that Gemara where he says it's not Mosrin, but it's Melamdin. So you can see that Tosus believes it applies to all areas of Torah, not just special areas. Okay, so Tosus assumes we paskin like this Gemara. But what about the Sugya and Sanhedrin? Tosus also raised that question to Chagiga. Rabbeinu Elchanan raised that question. And Tosus says... Yet yes, normally there will be an issue of lifnei iver because you're causing the non-Jew to violate the iser gilo arayos or the iser gezel. What the Gemara in Chagiga is adding is that even in a situation where there will be no issue of lifnei iver because you're not indispensable, they can find another teacher. Nonetheless, there's a special prohibition that the Gemara in Chagiga introduces against teaching a Gentile Torah even if you're not indispensable. So even if he has another teacher, even if he says, I can learn from my Gentile next door, so can you teach it to me? The answer is no, according to the Bali Atostos. Now the Sfas Emes said, the Sugyan Sanhedrin and Sugyan Chagiga coexist, but in a different way. The Sugyan Sanhedrin told you they can't immerse themselves in study of Torah, and that may have only been limited to Torah Shebichsav. The Sugya in Chagiga told me you can't even give them limited information, number one, and number two, that it would include Torah Sheba'al Peh. Okay, so that's the way the Sfas Emes understands the Chiddush of the Sugya in Chagiga, and the Maharsha very, very crucially says no. The Sugya in Sanhedrin limited their learning to the seven areas. And then on top of that, the Gemara in Chagiga said, and don't think within those seven areas you can teach them whatever you want. Which is, by the way, what the Rambam would say, which is what the Meiri would say, which is what the Bali Atosos would say. The Bali Atosos said it's a mitzvah to teach them within their seven areas. So the Maharsha says, absolutely not. Within their seven areas, that's what the Gemara Chagiga is saying. Amar Rabbi Ami, ein mosrin sisrei Torah. Right? He says you should understand these two statements of Rabbi Ami in light of each other. It's a big chiddush of the Maharsha, and it works very well with Rashi. The Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara in Sanhedrin was, hasam b'sheva mitzvos did who? That within their seven areas, right, they're only supposed to have a knowledge of the halachos, lios, bekiyin, behen. But it seems very clear from Rashi that they weren't supposed to have a very deep philosophical approach to the Torah. We're going to come back at the end of the Chazara to why that might be. Because what's the difference between learning information, what learning halacha, and learning the underpinning thought system? I think that is very different. Then we saw a Meiri. The Meiri said, the proper gears in the Gemara is not Divrei Torah, but Sisrei Torah. He says you're not allowed to teach the Sisrei Torah to somebody who is a kofir b'ikar, meaning somebody who is a pagan. It's not even, the thrust of the Gemara is not really talking about a Gentile as much as it is talking about a pagan. Okay, so presumably it could apply to a Jewish pagan. And the Meiri says, hey, achanum lamdeno so Torah, how can you teach Torah to somebody who's kofir b'ikar? So whereas the Meiri had that same girsa of Sisrei Torah, just like the Maharsha would later have it, it's a totally opposite halachic conclusion, right? He's not talking about, when it comes to a Gentile, certainly within their seven areas, and we know from the Meiri and Sanhedrin that those seven areas encompass almost the entire Torah, Rov Gufei Torah Nechalim Bahem, he's just pointing out that there's a special and irreconcilable contradiction between somebody who's a pagan and study of the Torah. We saw the Be'er Sheva. The Be'er Sheva was a 17th century source who argued that we don't actually paskin like the Sugya in Chagiga. The Rambam omits it, he says. And this is, of course, against Tosfos. Tosfos says we do paskin like that Sugya in Chagiga. And he says, and even if we did paskin like it, it's only in Asmachta. And even Rabbi Ami only meant it as far as the Sisrei Torah, not the Divrei Torah. So he limits the Gemara in a multiplicity of ways. Then we just returned to the actual source in Tehillim, and we said, what is the context there? The context is praising Hashem through all of the wondrous things that we see Him do. So we see Hashem control nature, and we see Hashem intervene in people's personal lives. And we also have the Torah. So this Mizmor Tehillim isn't talking about Torah generally, it's talking about the relationship that we have with Hashem through appreciating His Torah. So if we're quoting from this Mizmor and saying that's the prohibition against handing over Torah to Gentiles, I wouldn't say it's necessarily the information, it's the deeper relationship that's formed through the Torah, and that might militate in the direction of the Maharsha, in the direction of that Rashi, where they said, this Gemara Chagiga isn't talking about information, it's talking about giving them a deeper sense of the Torah, the sense of the Torah that leads to a special relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. So what we're going to do next time is we're going to pick it up with a number of modern-day tshuvos, which talk about the halachic, specific, practical halachic parameters of this idea, now that we've gotten a good scope across the sugya. Okay, yashar koach and chodesh tov.